What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Oh, well, we are in the throes of March Madness, y'all, and it is great. I just love this weekend of March Madness with just basketball stacked on basketball stacked on basketball. And I just love flipping through the channels, watching the games. We've already had a few really solid games that just came down to the wire. We've had a couple of upsets already. So let's just go ahead and recap what's happened after day one. I did not include anything that has happened today on Friday, just because I had already had all my notes and everything done. So this is just results from from day one, from Thursday of March Madness. And so Auburn moved on, as they should. Creighton took down Louisville. Michigan moved on, as they should. Texas A&M moved on as well. One of the upsets we had was Drake over Missouri. They ended up moving on. Texas Tech moved on, as they should. Arkansas versus Kansas ended up being one of those games that came down to the wire, and Arkansas ended up getting the win over Kansas. Now, I can have Kansas in the first round. This is the first time Kansas has been knocked out of the first round in many, many years. I don't recall the exact number of years, but Kansas is a team that's always known to be one of the best tournament teams, and to get knocked out by Arkansas, that was a crazy game. And then, of course, St. John's moved on as well. Then we had BYU move on, Wisconsin moved on, Houston moved on, Gonzaga moved on. Another upset was McNeese over Clemson. That was another crazy game that came down to the wire. And Purdue moved on, and then UCLA and Tennessee moved on. So it was pretty much business as usual. I actually still have my Final Four currently intact. My champion is still intact as well. I've got my Final Four is Auburn versus Florida, Arizona versus Houston, with my national championship being Auburn versus Houston, with my champion being Houston. So, hey, I am ecstatic that my bracket has yet to be busted, like completely. Of course, I didn't get all these teams right. I mean, I did not guess McNeese or Drake. So those were two teams that I completely overlooked. But that's what happens with brackets and such. But overall, my Final Four is still intact, so that's always a good thing. And most importantly, my champion is still intact. But we'll see how things are once we hit Monday. All right. Speaking of basketball, we also had a week full of NBA and goings on, and some teams hanging on, some teams starting to really get going and amped up. And then, of course, the usual suspects still remain. So on Monday, the Denver Nuggets took down the Golden State Warriors 114-105. And the big deal in this game is that Nikola Jokic, he was sitting just due to just getting some rest for whatever reason, a back-to-back game or something of that nature. But regardless, he sat in this game. But Aaron Gordon, he was the dude who stepped it up. He dropped 38 points in this game. And then also Russell Westbrook, he had a triple-double with 12 points, 16 assists, and 12 rebounds. So those two, they were actually able to show up against a solid Golden State Warriors team that has been surging since the Jimmy Butler trade. And that's what they need to do, because the big problem with the Denver Nuggets to me is that it's Nikola Jokic, and nobody else after him really wants to step it up on a consistent basis. Now, I know Aaron Gordon's completely capable of doing it, as well as Westbrook, but it's just whether or not they're going to do it, and this was a good way to show that, yeah, we can do it. Then on Tuesday, the Golden State Warriors beat the Milwaukee Bucks 104-93. In this game, there was no Steph Curry because he was also just resting up for the playoffs. And Jimmy Butler played, though, and he was the killer in this one. He dropped 24 points, 10 assists, and 8 rebounds. And like I said, the Golden State Warriors, they've only lost 3 games with Jimmy Butler since that trade. And this is a guy who's excellent come playoff time. So don't be shocked if you see these Golden State Warriors make it to the Western Conference Finals, or possibly even the NBA Finals. I don't pick them to be a champion for this season, but hey, they got championship pedigree, and Jimmy Butler is excellent come playoff time. He is called Playoff Jimmy for a reason, and he's really starting to fit right in with this Golden State Warriors team, and with no Steph, no problem for him. Then on Wednesday, the Oklahoma City Thunder smashed the Philadelphia 76ers 133-100, and in this game, no SGA. He also rested in this game. So Wiggins stepped it up with 26 points. Chet Holmgren also stepped it up with 19 points and 7 rebounds. As a matter of fact, the entire team really just played well as a team. Now, of course, the 76ers are awful, but it just went. It just goes to show they didn't have SGA. They're fine. They're able to at least play without him for one game. And it's good. It's a good confidence booster for you heading into the playoffs as well, because even though they've been flying high all season long, you can't get too cocky heading into the playoffs because anybody can beat you. And if you face off against the Golden State Warriors team and you overlook that team, that's not the team you want to overlook. And so Oklahoma City needs to keep it moving no matter what the circumstances are, and to smash a terrible team like you should without your star player, who's more than likely winning that MVP this year. That's a great win for them. And then on Thursday, talking about the Golden State Warriors yet again, they got the win over the Raptors, 117-114, and Jimmy Butler had a triple-double. 16 points, 12 assists, and 11 rebounds. So like I said, he is fitting right in. Draymond Green also had a solid-ass game, 21 points, 7 rebounds. He's been playing really solid since the Jimmy Butler trade as well. So like I keep saying with the Golden State Warriors, do not overlook them because they've got a solid core. They got dudes who can win, and Jimmy Butler might be that missing piece that they've needed to help them hopefully win another championship, at least if not this year, maybe potentially next year. But you can't overlook them at all, especially with just how well they are playing right now and how strong they're playing on the offensive and defensive side. Now, Steph did get hurt in last night's game. He ended up leaving the game with a hip contusion, but it doesn't look like it's going to be anything debilitating. It looks like he's only going to miss the next game or two and then should be fine. And then in some other NBA news, the Boston Celtics, they've been up for sale, I think for the last year, but it looks like they are going to sell for $6.1 billion. That is the highest, that's the biggest payout for a team to ever sell. So $6.1 billion. It hasn't been made official just yet, but that's what it's looking like. Boston Celtics have officially been sold, and we'll see what happens with them as a franchise. But, they bought a, obviously, one of the most historic teams in the NBA, but they got a good team here. And so we'll see what happens with this new ownership. So let's go ahead and take a look at the NBA playoffs, the NBA playoff picture and how it's looking right now. Over in the Western Conference right now, the number one overall seed is the Oklahoma City Thunder, and they have clinched a playoff spot. Number two seed would be the Houston Rockets. Number three seed would be the Denver Nuggets. Number four seed, the Los Angeles Lakers. Number five seed, the Memphis Grizzlies. And the number six seed, the Golden State Warriors. On the play-in side of things, the number seven seed would be the Los Angeles Clippers. Number eight seed would be the Minnesota Timberwolves. Number nine would be the Sacramento Kings. And number 10 seed would be the Phoenix Suns. Then turning to the Eastern Conference, number one overall seed would be the Cleveland Cavaliers, who have clinched a playoff spot. Number two is the Boston Celtics, who have also clinched a playoff spot. Number three seed would be the New York Knicks. Number four, the Indiana Pacers. Number five, the Milwaukee Bucks. Number six, the Detroit Pistons. And then on the play-in side of things, number seven overall seed is the Atlanta Hawks. Number eight, the Orlando Magic. Number nine, the Chicago Bulls. And number 10, the Miami Heat, who are on like a 10-game losing streak right now. So that's pretty shocking that they're even on in contention for the play-in at this point. But that just goes to show you the Eastern Conference is pretty weak compared to the Western Conference. But, anything could change over the next couple of weeks because we still have about 3 weeks left to go of the regular season. All right, and speaking of regular season, now let's get to my 2025 MLB season predictions. I've already done my predictions on the AL and NL West divisions, the AL and NL East divisions, and so now moving on to the AL and NL Central divisions, simply because these are really bad divisions. I feel like any team is up, it could potentially win these divisions, especially the AL Central. Well, the NL, it's kind of the same thing too. I wouldn't be shocked if the majority of these teams were able to win it all, well, win their entire division. Honestly, there's only really a couple teams that are real legitimate standouts to me in either of these divisions. But for the most part, I think these are pretty weak-ass teams. So that's why we're ending with the Central. So let's begin with the AL Central and how I think that's going to pan out. the number one team I have in the AL Central, and this is actually one of the teams that I think is going to be a legit team and hit the playoffs and potentially maybe make a nice little run to the ALCS or something. But I do think this is a team that's not only going to be good for this year, but I see them being a team for years to come, or at least the next 5 years ish to come, just because they've been building a really strong team from their farm system with the AAA and the AA teams. They've been building through free agency as well. And some of the moves they made in this offseason I like, but they also made a huge move a couple seasons ago by signing their manager, AJ Hinch, who has completely turned this team around like he did with the Houston Astros. And that's really why I like the Detroit Tigers to win the AL Central this year. You know, they've got returning starting pitcher, Cy Young winner, Tarik Skubal, who had a phenomenal year last year, and then they went and signed Jack Flaherty as well in the offseason. So I think they've just only bolstered the starting pitcher position, and they were really dominant at the starting pitcher position towards the end of the season last year. So I just kind of see them picking up where they left off last year and really just kind of take a control of this division. I like their young guys like Kerry Carpenter. He's a really solid guy. But they also picked up Gleyber Torres in the offseason as well. And now with his bat, he's not going to really blow you up. But what I really like about Gleyber is he's actually very solid defensively. And so I think he's just going to add in that nice veteran presence, a guy who's been around for a while, but he's also going to play a solid role with this team. And I really like what I see from the Detroit Tigers ending the last two seasons, and just what they've built over their terrible seasons that they had. They were able to build up a nice farm season, get some draft picks, and now some of these guys are starting to come up, and you know, they've made a few moves, and who knows, maybe they'll make some more moves. But I've got the Detroit Tigers winning the AL Central. Then coming in second place, and I think it is going to be a battle between Detroit and the Kansas City Royals, simply because the Royals, they're another team just like the Tigers. They've built up this really solid squad through their farm system. They've got a really, they got one of the best players in the league with Bobby Witt Jr. Fantastic offensively and defensively, a five-tool player, hands down. But you also got Pasquantino as well. He's a great first baseman who could get it going with his bat as well. My only concern with the Kansas City Royals, though, is their pitching. From top to bottom, from starting to relief to their closer, I don't really look at least just on paper, I don't really look at them as strong with pitching. So I don't think they're going to have any issues scoring runs, but I think they're going to get scored on a lot themselves, and that's why I give the Detroit Tigers the edge in this division, simply because I think the Tigers have a much more solid and reliable team, whereas the Royals, I don't trust their starting pitching especially at all. Then finishing in third place in the AL Central, I kind of went back and forth between two teams, but I settled on the Minnesota Twins. I don't know why. They've just been a team that's kind of hung around over the last couple of years, so I expect them to kind of do the same thing this year. But, you know, Royce Lewis, he's been a really solid bat when he gets in the game, but it kind of feels like he gets hurt every single year, and he already is starting off the season hurt. Now, it looks like he's only going to miss a game or two, but starting off the season hurt, that's just not good for him, and it just really sucks because it feels like that's just kind of the theme for him. And when you could tell he's not hurt, he's an excellent player, and he definitely could add a lot of offense to this team. But unfortunately, if you keep getting hurt, and you get hurt right off the bat, I don't think that's going to pan out too well for you. I do like their starting pitchers. I do think they have a really solid starting pitching lineup, but they just are so inconsistent, and until they can be a consistent team, I can't really trust the Minnesota Twins. Then finishing in fourth place in the AL Central, I have the Cleveland Guardians, and this I did go back and forth between them and Minnesota because I actually probably think Cleveland's a little bit better, but, you know, they did lose Josh Naylor in the offseason, and I feel like he was a heartbeat for this team. He not only provided a huge source of offense, he was a gold glover as well. But you could tell that when he was in the game, he really motivated his teammates, and they really liked to play for him. So it's going to be interesting to see if that ends up being a loss, not only in the offensive side of the ball, but just in the locker room. They're starting pitching as well. That's usually what the Cleveland Guardians are about. Their starting pitching has been some of the best starting pitching they almost always seem to have like a Cy Young award winner ready to go out the gate. And, you know, Tanner Bibee, I think he's a solid starting pitcher, and I like him. I don't know if he's a Cy Young award winner just yet, but we'll see. And I think he's going to definitely continue to grow as he has over the years. But I mean, beyond him, I'm not really impressed with the rest of their starting pitching. So we'll see how it goes, because Cleveland's always that kind of a team that just out of nowhere, here they are. I mean, last year I didn't expect them to play so well, and they dominated their division for the majority of the season. And then, of course, they have Kwan and Ramirez still on their roster, and those are two really solid, reliable guys. It's just beyond them, I think it's going to be a struggle for them to score runs. And that's why I have Cleveland finishing in fourth, just because I don't think they're going to be able to – I just think they're going to have an up-and-down season and really never play any consistent baseball. But rounding out the American League Central, I have the Chicago White Sox. Man, you look at their roster and you're like, who and who are you? That with every position, and you're like, dude, what is up with this team? But I will say, since they had their worst season ever last year, with the Chicago White Sox, there's nowhere to go but up, right? I mean, you can't be worse than last year, can you? So, you know, maybe even having one or two more wins than last year, I think is still a success, but I don't expect much from the Chicago White Sox this year. Moving on to the National League Central, this one was a little bit more difficult for me to decide who I think is going to win the National League Central, and I'm just really guessing on this one. I'm going with the Chicago Cubs. I do like the moves they made in the offseason, especially for Kyle Tucker. I think Kyle Tucker is one of the most reliable offensive players that the Houston Astros had over the last couple of seasons. It was actually quite shocking, in my opinion, to see them trade him away, because I think Chicago is getting a dude who's hasn't even hit his prime yet. I think he's about to hit his prime. And so they're getting a dude who's probably going to be having the best years of his life while he's with them. So I think that's a good move for them. I also like Nico Horner. I think he's great offensively, but great defensively as well. Then, of course, Swanson, he's been fantastic since he signed with the Cubs. So I like what they've got going for them offensively. It's their starting pitching and their relief pitching that's, you know, kind of was up and down last year, especially because Steele, you know, he had a great year the year before, but then last year it was kind of marred by injuries, and then when it kind of felt like he was getting going, it was just too late. And then you also have Shota Imanaga. He's a good pitcher as well. He started off last year really solid. And then just kind of got a little bit shaky towards the end, but I kind of feel like if these two are able to put it together, that's a great way to start out your starting pitching lineup. They also picked up Presley, a relief pitcher from the Houston Astros in that Kyle Tucker trade. He's a pretty consistent guy himself. It looks like he's going to end up being their closer to start the season. So, I like the moves they've made, and I feel like they're going to be a force to reckon with offensively, and it's just there's so many questions with the teams below them. That's why I went with the Chicago Cubs to win the NL Central. Finishing in second place, I have the Milwaukee Brewers. Big deal for me with them is they lost Willy Adames. He has been their dude. Ever since they pretty much brought him up, when he's in the game and he's playing, he's great for them, and they usually win when he's in. It's just when he was injured or whatever, that's when they had the issues. It's the same thing with Christian Yelich as well. What's up with his health? It kind of feels like now every season he's that dude who's getting injured. He's great when he's in, but then he gets injured, and you're like, what the hell's going on here? But I think the biggest weakness with the Milwaukee Brewers is definitely their relief pitchers. I just kind of feel like that's going to be letting them down as the season wears on. I think they've got a pretty solid starting pitching lineup. It's really just the relief pitchers all the way down the bullpen. I don't know what's going to happen with their closer role, and there's just way too many questions for me. Also, offensively, you know, like I said, they lost Adames. Yelich, you don't know what's going to happen. And then everybody else, it's just kind of a mixed bag. So we'll see what we get from the Brewers. I wouldn't be shocked if they won the division, of course, because that's just kind of the team they are. But at the same time, I just don't think they have a lot of consistency for them, at least from what I can tell right now. Then finishing in third place in the NL Central, I have the St. Louis Cardinals. just everything about this roster, I'm just not sure about this team. I don't know what to expect from their pitchers, from starting to relief pitcher. It's just like a mixed bag of crap. You don't know what you're going to get. Yeah, I couldn't even point out an ace in the starting pitching lineup. And then you look at they lost Goldschmidt. So it's like you lost some offense there. They lost Tyler O'Neill. You lost some offense there. I kind of feel like the Cardinals are probably in a rebuilding mode. Now, of course, they're a team who's probably not going to be in a rebuilding mode for a long time. But, you know, they weren't very good last year. And I kind of think they're going to be not very good this year either. And also be on the lookout for Arenado potentially being on the move at some point in this season. The third baseman, he's about their only good player. And, you know, somebody could get desperate at some point in the season and may trade for him. So I would kind of feel like that's about the only thing to expect from the St. Louis Cardinals this year. Then finishing in fourth place in the NL Central, I have the Cincinnati Reds. I do think they made a positive move by signing Terry Francona as their manager in the offseason, because he has an immediate impact on every team he has ever become a manager of. He is a dude who is able to turn this team around. With that being said, there is not a lot going on with the Cincinnati Reds team. Now, they do have Ellie De La Cruz, one of the most solid players in the league. He is a five-tool player. He is great defensively. He is great with his bat. He can steal bases like no other. He is just great at basically everything he does. So he's definitely going to be putting asses in the seats, and he's definitely a guy you can build your team around. But other than that, they don't have a lot going on. Now, like I said, with Francona, he is that dude who's great at motivating guys. And so who knows, maybe Cincinnati could actually surprise and be a team who just makes a run for potentially like the last wild card spot in the playoffs, because that's what Francona does. I mean, as soon as he went to the Red Sox, turned them around. As soon as he went to Cleveland, he turned them around. It's just what he does. He's won World Series before. He's been to the World Series with Cleveland. So he is a dude who can get it done, and would not be shocked if he's able to get it done with the Reds. It's just there's not a lot of talent on this team. And so that's probably going to end up being a problem. But they are in a weak division, so that could help. And then rounding out the NL Central, I have the Pittsburgh Pirates, because they are just a bad team. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't be shocked if the Pittsburgh Pirates are the worst team in the league this year. They do have Skeens, fantastic pitcher, but beyond him, what else do they got? They ain't got shit going on with the rest of their pitching staff. Relief pitchers, not much going on there. They do still have Reynolds, He had an injury-prone season last year. Is he going to turn into that injury-prone guy? But also at the same time, then once you beyond Reynolds, there ain't really shit out there either. You know, they've got O'Neill Cruz, who they've been talking about for the last couple of years, and he has yet to really show up. So I don't know. I just don't see a lot of anything coming from the Pittsburgh Pirates this year other than Skeens being a hell of a pitcher. But I wouldn't be shocked if the Pirates are the worst team in baseball this year. All right, y'all, enjoy the weekend of sports, and I will talk to you on Monday.